We live in a fantasy world now. Reality has been destroyed.
This is the time that we really need to pay attention.
The probabilities are overwhelmingly on gold's side.
That is the best environment to see gold increase its value.
Welcome to Palisades Gold Radio. I'm your host, Tom Bodrovics. Joining me today is Chris Vermeulen from the technicaltraders.com. How are you today, Chris?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
I'm great. So I wanted to get you back on. It's been a while since we've had an update from you, but I wanted to start talking about, you have kind of a new strategy. It's called the best asset now. So can you explain that strategy a bit to us and how you identify these trades?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's not a new strategy. I've actually been trading this strategy for a decade or so and constantly refining it. But now I've kind of coined the term BAN, best asset now. And what it is the way the strategy works is we trade in ETFs that focus on whatever the best sector is at any given time. We're seeing huge sector rotation over the last couple of years. We always see sector rotation, but obviously COVID's changing the world dramatically. So we're definitely seeing huge movements in green energy and technology and healthcare, biotech, all these things. So the way the BAN strategy works is we want to know when to be in the stock market. And when we are in the stock market, we want to make sure we only own the best stocks. Mm-hmm. And so the strategy really breaks things down into, you know, three simple steps. The first step is the stock market, the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ, favorable to be owning stocks in general? Mm-hmm. And if it is, then we go out and we look and sort through the different sectors, find out what the strongest relative strength sectors are. So whatever sector or top three sectors are performing the best over multiple timeframes, along with a bunch of other technical analysis we kind of apply in the background, we find out what those three sectors are, and then we invest our money into those three sector ETFs. And it's pretty straightforward. When the stock market gives a new buy signal, we move into the best three sectors, and then we scale out of trades as price starts to mature. So we look to take profits at 7%, 15%, then 20%. Each time we sell a quarter of the position, and then we're left with a quarter left, and we just let it run. Because a lot of times these leading sectors are moving 20 to 100 plus percent over a several month period. And so we want to make sure they just continue to run with a portion of our capital. And then, of course, as we build up equity from cashing out and scaling out of these positions, we can rotate into what the new best assets are. We've got a little hot list that pretty much every week it's popping up new trades that says, hey, here's the best performing sector. It just gave a new momentum buy signal and you can get into it. And it's very, very powerful because it's explosive moves. I mean, it doesn't matter if you trade the ETFs, if you want to trade options on them, you can do all those things because it's very kind of powerful short-term moves. Trades generally last 20 to 40 days, which is 1 to 2 months. Mm-hmm. There's 20 trading days in a month on average. So that's kind of how we look at it. So it's kind of swing trading slash position trading. It's fairly straightforward. It gives you a lot of time to just focus on the positions, not get caught up in the markets. You're just managing three positions within your portfolio and scaling out. And then when the market resets, you close all positions. When the stock market internals are saying, hey, it's not favorable anymore, we mm-hmm. close out the positions, and then we wait for the market to chop around, correct, and then give us a new signal. And we just rinse and repeat. And this usually happens 4, 5, 6 times a year, depending on the market condition. So we can outperform the NASDAQ, which is amazing. Most people struggle to outperform the S&P 500, mm-hmm. and the NASDAQ puts the S&P 500 to shame. And we're crushing the NASDAQ. So it's a pretty amazing strategy, focusing on the best of the best and actively managing those positions.
Interesting, Chris. So how do you go about really identifying those, like you say, those top sectors? Are you using momentum or what kind of technicals are you using to really identify those areas?
Right. Yeah. So there's a bunch of layers to it. The first big kind of high level layer is we actually sort the sectors by their performance. So we look back over multiple periods. So if you were to sort all the sectors and say, okay, which sectors have moved up the most in the past 52 weeks? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to take, like, you know, the top 10 sectors or the top 20. And then you're going to run that scan again. Okay, which ones performed the best in the past 6 months, the past 3 months, the past month, and the last five trading days? And then you can look at those lists and you can say, okay, well, these three ETFs happen to be on every one of those. They're strong long-term, they're strong short-term. And so that's phase number one. Step number one is finding those ones that are consistently leaders, and the money is obviously flowing into those sectors. And I mean, there's research that goes way back to the 1920s, multiple research reports that say if you invest or trade and own the leading sectors, the leading stocks, then over a 12-month period, they're still going to continue to outperform the rest of the market, even if they lose like the top leadership. So you can outperform the market 70% of the time just by constantly rotating into the top leaders. So that's the basis of our strategy. So, you know, ground zero with almost doing no work, we can beat the stock market 70% of the time. And then we need to layer in position management to really kind of tune it. So once we've done that, there's a few more technical layers. We're going to look at the long-term trend, make sure it's in a, you know, a stage two accumulation mode, like long-term moving averages need to be in favor. We look at the shorter term trend, like the 20 period moving average, momentum and things like that. They've got to be trending up. We've got to be seeing strong volume moving into the sector, accumulative on balance volume. And then we like to look at the market internals. We want to make sure that sector and the stock market is outperforming bonds, utilities, consumer staples. We want to see money flowing into even the Aussie dollar. If money's flowing into the Aussie dollar, we tend to, that means people are very aggressive with their money. Mm-hmm. If we see the yen outperforming the Aussie dollar, that means actually money globally is getting very defensive and they're trying to bunker down. And so that tells us that the stock market is probably going to see less cash flow move into it. So we just look for all these things to come into favor. And if it's green across the board on our watch list, then we're like, okay, this is top of our list. We don't own it yet. We've got capital. We can jump into it and try and scale out at 7, 15, 20%. Mm-hmm. And we'll let the runner go until either the trailing stop gets hit or the market gives us a sell signal.
Perfect. So Chris, what are we seeing or what are you seeing right now for the general equities? Are they starting to roll over or are you seeing any of those indicators of money starting to be cautious?
Yeah, we definitely are. So if you can see my chart here, let me go to the NASDAQ here, for example. So the NASDAQ, if we were to just zoom in here into the last little bit, you can see the last week and a half, it's nothing but red bars. The NASDAQ has been the leader. It's been on fire. Of course, it holds all the high flyers. It's got the EV stocks. I mean, it's got technology, biotech. I mean, it's been absolutely on fire. And that's where big money has been flowing into. Now, when you look at this chart, you're like, whoa, that's a pretty gnarly downtrend. And, you know, in the last seven trading sessions, we've seen it swing, you know, it's at an 8.22% wow. sell-off because money is really coming out of these high flyers. We're seeing elevated volume. We're seeing, you know, Tesla and tech companies in general are getting sold off. So there's a lot of profit taking going on. And when money's coming out of the market, it's usually going somewhere else. And you need to try to track it down and go, okay, well, if money's coming out of these, what were the leaders? Where is it going now that's going to become the new leaders? And that's what our system is constantly looking for. And for example, NASDAQ's down 8.2%. Clean energy down, I think the clean energy is down about 30% or more from the high about a month ago. EV markets are down sharp. So money's coming out of those. But if we go and we look at, let's look at the utility sector. Utility sector has been going the opposite direction. We're seeing industrials. Industrial stocks, money's moving into industrial stocks. It's been bucking the trend going higher. With strong volume. If we look at the oil exploration stocks, they have been going higher. Crude oil has been going higher. So we're seeing a rotation out of tech, out of clean energy, and it seems to be rotating into dirty energy and in economic stocks, like physical, you know, industrial stuff, not just digital stuff anymore. So we're definitely seeing a rotation from clean tech to dirty, real physical, you know, economic growth companies. So that is what we're keeping our eye on. And when we look at the stock market right now, for example, if I pull up the Bann Hot List here, we can see that typically when we're in a strong trend, we see the stage here. This is our long-term trend. Usually these are all green. Same with our short-term trend, should be all green. Sentiment is green across the board, which is nice. That means money is still generally flowing into the stock market. But in the last couple trading days, we've seen a lot of these sectors start to go red and orange. That's telling us some of the longer-term trends in these leaders are running out of steam. On a short-term basis, a lot of them are going mixed, so it's starting to top out. We're starting to get some downtrends, which isn't good. And so the market's getting weaker. It's breaking down. And there's a lot of signs there saying, hey, this market could go into a multi-month consolidation or deeper pullback. And so we need to be very cautious. So we've been trimming positions, and really the market is on the cusp, potentially by the end of this week, of signaling a new downtrend. A lot of damage was done on the tech side, the leading sectors this week with that big drop. It was a beautiful recovery the same day, but there was the damage has been done. It definitely was a blow to the system. And now we need to see if it's going to recover by the end of the week. If it doesn't, then I think we're starting a multi-month consolidation. And when the market's going sideways or down, we just move to cash. There's no point in riding out that roller coaster. I'd rather watch people from the sidelines, and we can focus on education and learn more and analyze, you know, with members and stuff versus struggling with positions.
So Chris, I know you don't necessarily focus on news events, but do you think that that rotation into the industrials and away from clean energy has something to do with, let's say, the storm in Texas?
It most likely does. I mean, everything's linked in some way in this world. So obviously a lot of damage has been done. I think, you know, the thing is before this storm, these sectors were doing really well. If you look at XOP, I mean, it's been rallying since November. We've seen oil rallying. So I wouldn't say it's directly related to that storm. It's probably helped the infrastructure being needed and all that stuff. But I mean, these strong trends have really been in place for 1, 2, 3, 4 months. So they're pretty good. They're just now starting to get to the top of the Bann Hot List. If we look at the hot list up here, XOP, you know, is ranked second from the top. It's definitely up there, as even on a big down day in the stock market, money is flowing into somewhere and it's going into these sectors. And that's the nice thing about playing the best asset now, is when the stock market crashes, if you're in that leading sector, it actually just keeps going up sometimes. So it's a really big buffer, a safety zone. Now, obviously right now it's a little bit different. We're actually seeing the leaders unbecoming the leaders, right? The once leaders are now kind of falling to the side, and there's a new breed of leaders. So all those tech now are kind of, they've sold off and dropped dramatically. And I think we're seeing this shift to this economic style side recovery.
Can you zoom out on that chart and see if there's any kind of seasonality to that? You know, when it gets cold, that there's increased market demand like that?
For XOP here, for the oil holders?
Yes.
So if we were to look at it, let's see here. So
doesn't really seem like it, hey?
No, I mean, it's been out of, I mean, this is really linked to crude oil. I mean, crude oil kind of topped out here. I mean, these sectors and stocks are very linked together, but you can see here how we've gone in this strong downtrend, you know, under the 200-day moving average. And finally it's broken through over here. And now it's, you know, it's starting a new bull market, and it's leading the way. It's doing really well. In terms of seasonality wise. Yeah. I don't see a whole lot here. Seasonality wise.
Perfect. So Chris, what's the difference between a new high made on news or around an event versus one that's made more organically? Why do you trust the first less than the second?
Right. So that's the nice thing. When you look at news, a news-based move it's just a surge of emotions. It's a surge of coverage, of media, of marketing, more or less. I don't see anything that moves on media to be a real move. It's just a fake kind of push. But when you see moves in price that happen when there's no news, no one's interested in it, those are the ones that are exciting. For example, platinum broke into a new bull market this year. Nobody's really talking about it. No one's interested in buying platinum bars or rounds. I mean, that's pretty exciting. I mean, we saw gold break into a bull market in 2019, silver in 2020. Here in 2021, platinum is doing it. It's kind of like a sleeper bull market that people aren't paying attention to. I think it's really powerful. And then you look over at silver, and everyone's been talking about silver, and it had a big pop on news. And the problem is, when the media gets a hold of it, it's generally a done deal. It cooks it. You might get a 1 or 3 day pop, but after that, it's done, because the media and the general public are the last people to get on board of a trend. Mm-hmm. So when they hit it, you know, okay, well, that's it. I mean, any technical trader would be positioned in those trends already. And then when the media hits, it's just kind of like icing on the cake if you're able to get out. They're pop and drops is what they are. I mean, we've seen it across the board with, I hate to say it, but the Reddit group has popped GME, AMC, the marijuana sector, silver. They all end really ugly. I mean, everyone gets sucked in on the big up days, the big gaps to the upside, and then they reverse and crash. And it actually hurts, it hurts all the small guys who are chasing it and getting in on that news at the worst possible time. And, you know, the reality is the institutions are making a fortune shorting these things. And I mean, really, they were the perfect storms for them to re-enter shorts or add to their shorts if they didn't get squeezed out. And I mean, the big money is really tough to beat. And if you follow the market and you've been trading for a long time, these news-based pops, that's the way they always move. I mean, there's nothing new about a pump, more or less a pump and dump is what they are. It happens in penny stocks all the time. Follow penny stocks for a couple of years, or just for a couple, and watch them get pumped up. They spike and they crash. It's just the media hears about it. Everyone wants in. Mm-hmm. It goes up and it comes back down, and it does a lot of damage to the charts. It does a lot of damage to the small investor who's trying to make money and, you know, trying to get back at Wall Street. But the problem is you still get hurt doing it. And mm-hmm. So it's a dangerous game to play. I get the whole point behind it. It's awesome to try and give Wall Street a taste of their own medicine. But I mean, it hurts most people's trading accounts. Mm-hmm.
So let's take SILJ, for example. What have we seen recently? And does this show this lack of conviction in this trade?
Yeah, so for sure. So we saw silver go completely oversold. And then obviously it started to get coverage in media. And we saw a huge pop when everyone heard about it. It was a mainstream financial news. Everyone was talking about, you know, Reddit, they're talking about silver stocks. And of course, what happens is everybody hears it in the media. They go and they buy it right at the open when all this media hits, because that's when the masses actually hear about it. And then, of course, what does price do? I mean, it fell 20%. It's still down, you know, 8+%. It does a lot of damage, and all it is a pop and drop. It's not a real move. I think there could be a silver squeeze coming. I think the silver market is a lot different than a stock. When we saw the stock squeeze in GME and AMC, those were real. Those were full on short squeezes. But silver is a little different. It's a commodity. You've got to wait for futures contracts to expire. You've got to wait for the delivery and the lack of delivery. There's no supply. I think there's going to be all these layers that kind of come in, and eventually the futures and the spot price, everything will start to squeeze up higher. So there's a bit of a delay there. And I'd love to see it. I mean, a real silver squeeze, I think we could see $40, $80 an ounce. Mm-hmm. It would be pretty amazing. And if we do see that, I would be selling a lot of my silver, because what goes straight up on a squeeze or media coverage, I mean, is usually going to come straight back down. You can reload later at a much lower price if you love silver, which I do. Mm-hmm. But you got to be able to release some of it at a premium and enjoy the spoils of, you know, getting in position and letting the kind of a play like this play out. Mm-hmm.
So how do you see this this silver squeeze, you know, really progressing? What's your perspective on how this market will develop through this year?
Yeah, I think there's going to be this constant I mean, we hear about it all the time. We're all learning more and more that it's harder to get metals, physical delivery. Mm-hmm. And now we've hit this new kind of phase where the mass public are piling into buying physical. And I think that's applying pressure to the system. And I think there's going to be a delay. But I think by the end of this year, or potentially over the next 2 or 3 months, I think we could see metals potentially go a lot higher, mm-hmm. because there's just so much money just buying. I mean, if everybody just bought around a week or around a month, I mean, there's, you know, hundreds of millions of people. I mean, and that's kind of the whole movement, right? Is to get this silver squeeze and make it happen. And it could totally happen. I think it will happen. Mm-hmm. The question is just how soon. And just the fact that I think there's going to be so many people owning precious metals and wanting physical delivery that we're going to eventually just see the demand continue to pick up, and price is going to eventually follow suit. People are going to realize, get into silver now before it takes off. And that's going to create everybody to pile in and buy silver. So,
mm-hmm. So Chris, what are some of your targets for this year? Like if you look at, I know you look at, Fibonacci extensions. So what are some of your targets that you're kind of seeing, possible for silver for the coming year?
Sure. So I think it'll be a bit of a rough ride when we look at metals, because if the stock market does go into a bit deeper of a correction, mm-hmm. This year, which every year there's always a 10 to 20% correction almost in the stock market. And if that happens, we're going to see metals most likely pull back with them, just like we always do. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to be going in a straight line. Now, if we were to look at silver here, if we were to look at the short-term chart, just based on this really sharp drop and then this little pattern that's playing out here, I am still bearish on silver. I feel as though silver could come down to roughly, or sorry, this isn't silver.
I was going to say, Chris, this is SILJ.
Yeah. So they're very similar charts. But if we were to look at the silver here, based on this spike using Fibonacci extensions, you know, we're still looking at roughly $24 on the short term for silver to the downside. So this is a sell-off, a bear flag, and then the second half of that sell-off. So if that happens and we get to 24, to me, that's a screaming buy. That is, we're at long-term support. We're through the noise of all this consolidation. Mm-hmm. We're at this pivot low. We're at this pivot low. And it's 100% measured move. To me, that would be, hey, this is an oversold level. If you are a precious metals, like physical accumulation kind of person, want to save it, this is the type of point you can buy it and relax. Now, if we zoom out to the big picture here and we go to the Fibonacci extension to get an upside target based on this bull flag. So you got a rally up, which creates a flagpole, mm-hmm. and then the market flags down. And it usually flags in the opposite direction of the previous trend. So the previous trend is up and then it flags down. And then we're working our way up for it to break out and start a new run. Now, if we were to give a target here, you can see where we go from there to this low. We carry that forward. We're looking for silver to reach roughly $40 in ounce. Now, this is a big pattern. This went from, you could argue, really, it's only just a couple of weeks away. This is almost a year-long pattern at this point. It rallied from last March up here, and then it consolidated for several months, and now it's starting this next rally. So we're already 1, 2, 3 months into this. If we look at this low, we are 1, 2, 3 months into this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you see what happens after this, but you know, it picks up speed and it has that final move. And that's kind of what feels like is brewing here. We've got the low, we're 1, 2, 3, and it's on the verge of getting traction and picking up speed and going, you know, parabolic to hit that next target. So silver, I'm excited about. I'd love to see this 40 hit. It could create that short squeeze that mm-hmm. could spike it up to 80. That would be absolutely amazing. Lots of money to be made if that happens. And that could happen over the next 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. So that's what this pattern is saying. The next 60 days, 90 days, we could be seeing 40, potentially an $80 silver squeeze if the stars aligned, right?
Mm-hmm. So Chris, you recently wrote that silver tends to rally excessively in the later stages of any precious metals rally. So how does the timing on this relationship look? And how does the silver react when a sell-off happens like we saw in March and also the 2008 crisis?
Right. So generally we see gold kind of move first, and we've seen that time and time again. Gold broke out in 2019, as I talked about, into a new bull market. Silver was a year later. And silver, let's just pull up the gold chart real quick. I'll give you a quick visual here. If we look at gold, gold put in its major top way over here. It sold down. It put in this rounding formation, and it had some clear line in the sand. Get rid of this one here. This is a significant level where gold broke out. Mm-hmm. And so when you hit a new bull market, the first pause or pullback can be bought. Now, the way gold moved here is it ran up. It had a, it's hard to see this, but this is a running correction, which is a really powerful move. It means it doesn't, there's so much money piling into it, it's actually not going to flag in the opposite direction. So we had this very strong move and rally, and then we got this first bull flag. Mm-hmm. And so the first pause or pullback in a bull market is one of the best opportunities to get into something. After that, you know, the masses pile in and they drive the price up, and you let them do all the heavy lifting, right? So if we were to look at silver now, silver chart's a little, very similar. We got the multi-year base. It had its first breakout way down here. We had the first kind of short squeeze in silver last year, where anyone, a big investor who's on the wrong side of silver, who has, you know, any common sense on chart patterns, they'd be like, as it's breaking either this level or this level here, that is when they are going to say, okay, I am clearly on the wrong side of this if I am short. Mm-hmm. They needed to cover. And that's why we got this big short squeeze and this big rally. But then we had this first pause or pullback. So we are in that stage where gold is. Silver just put in that first pause or pullback. It's just starting to pick up speed. And that next measured move is going to bring us potentially all the way up here to this 40 mark. We could see this take off and get up there. So silver is primed and ready. Gold's already done this. Silver is, it's time to shine. And of course, with this media really picking up on trying to create the short squeeze, I think it's putting the odds more in our favor that it is going to happen. So I really like it. And that's, silver tends to just be after gold. I think when the mass, the global investors get nervous, they think of gold first. Mm-hmm. Silver is like kind of later. People are like, well, how else can I take advantage of the precious metals? They look into silver. It's kind of the poor man's gold. It's the speculative play. So, you know, eventually people want to get into the more speculative metal side. And so silver's just got this big lag, I find, typically mm-hmm. happens.
So as you were mentioning earlier, Chris, can we look at the platinum chart and show us what you're seeing there as well?
Yep, sure. All right. So here is, Okay. So if I was to just draw a kind of a baseline across here, more or less it's been in a bear market. It's been trying to put in a major bottom. It got crushed in the COVID crash, absolutely annihilated. But you can see this blue line. It's a pretty significant level where it was clear resistance. And then finally it broke out of December 2020 and finally held its ground in January. And now it's really rocketing to the upside. So platinum hasn't had that first pullback yet. It's a little bit before where silver is. Mm-hmm. You know, gold rallied up and had a bull flag. Silver has rallied up and had a bull flag. Well, platinum has rallied up, and you know, maybe it's time for it to actually flag out for a while. And it mm-hmm. could flag out for 6, 8, 12 months. But after that, it could be off to the races to a much bigger potential gain to the upside. I feel as though platinum is, the move is kind of done. I mean, if we were to look at a Fibonacci extension to get an idea of the upward momentum, we go from the low to this high and then back to this low. This is the main pattern. You can see it's already run. This one means 100%. So it's mm-hmm. run a perfect 100% move of where it should have based on the previous momentum. And if we draw a line across the chart, it's more or less near a high here. It's near a low here and here. It's at a really critical pivot point on the price chart itself. So we've got to be prepared for platinum to kind of fizzle out. It's had a beautiful run. Now I think it's time to take a breather. If we get that big bull flag, that's when you can start being more excited about a continuation move. But the more it can trade sideways here, the better it is long-term. Because if it just keeps going straight up, it's going to most likely come straight back down. Mm-hmm. But at this point, this is a perfect move, 100%. Now, if it can flag out for a little while, I mean, that's when you want to buy your bars, you know, 6-8 months from now when it's flagged out and it's holding up really well, because that's, you're going to be closer to that imminent breakout for that next run higher.
Interesting. Chris, I just wanted to go back to the general equities for a sec. Do you see any risk of like an actual crash right now, or is it just a possible move sideways to lower without any real drama?
I think there's always a possibility of a big crash. I mean, I feel like it could happen at any point. We don't know what's going to spark it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there really isn't that much liquidity in the market. I mean, other than the Fed dumping it in, but when the selling starts, there's no stopping it. When people are panicking, I mean, the Fed can't hold it up. I mean, they even adjusted their circuit breakers last year to try to, they're making their circuit breakers bigger, which blows my mind. I think the futures market expanded them so that they don't get hit. I mean, last year we saw the circuit breakers get hit a couple times or three times a day at one point. Mm-hmm. And every time it gets hit, it sparks fear and, you know, across investors. And it actually, to me, does more damage. So they made the circuit breakers further away. So the market has to crash a lot more before it even triggers one. And then when it triggers one, it has to fall even more to trigger the next. So they're trying to keep the perception that, you know, things aren't falling apart and, you know, the stock market's dying. But they're also now allowing the market to collapse before they halt trading even further. It's tough. I mean, I don't know if there is a better way to do it, but I do feel like the market could collapse and it could be very sharp at any point. I've thought that for years. I always think that. And that's why you need to have protective stops in place. Mm-hmm. I don't pick tops. I'm not betting on a bear market to come at this point. I don't bet on them anyway. I wait for them to actually show on the charts and then get positioned in them. But you have to have protective stops, because if the stock market drops 35% again, there's no point in riding that down, right? You might as well have a 15 or 20 or 25% stop, depending on your strategy and how aggressive you are, to kick you out of it in case, because you never know where the bottom is going to be. You know, mm-hmm. Maybe it goes 35, maybe it goes 75. I mean, there's people out there calling for like an 80% correction in the stock market. So, and no one knows until we see what happens. So you just have to be prepared.
Perfect. Well, that's a great sober look at, you know, things from a technical perspective, Chris. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share with us as we wrap up here?
I think we covered it. I think precious metals are looking really good long-term. And I think the equities markets, I think we're starting to see some rotation from the high flyers to potentially more small caps, economic stocks, where, you know, we're seeing building and, you know, towns being rebuilt and bridges. We're going to see infrastructure. We're going to see industrial stuff come back. I think they're going to start to really take off, or they already are, but I mean, I think they're going to continue to lead the way. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to get a gauge myself. Are we still in the old high flyers, or is there a new wave of high flyers coming in? And I think we're going to find out over the next couple of weeks. And for traders to just be cautious, this market could sell off. We could have a big leg down over the next month, and just make sure you're not watching all your profits evaporate.
Perfect. Excellent, Chris. Well, we can find more about you and your work at the Tech Traders on Twitter and thetechnicaltraders.com. Anywhere else?
That's about it. I've got a YouTube channel, but everything's posted on our blog, so it's easy to find it all right on our website.
Excellent. Thanks very much for your time today, Chris.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Always a pleasure.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Guests on this show are not compensated for their appearance. Listeners are urged to educate themselves and make their own decisions. Do not base any investment decisions on the information contained. To view our full disclaimer, please visit our website.